punch the wrong button. Anyway, here he was, going down to the city of Jericho. And he fell among these thieves. He was probably a Jew. And here comes the Samaritan that's supposed to hate this Jew. And let's see what he does. Certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had what? Love, didn't he? Compassion on this man. He loved him. You think he loved him because he was a Jew? I didn't love him because he's a Jew, because they've been hating each other for 400 or 500 years. What he loved him for, because he was a fellow man. He was a human being. And he went to him and he bound up his wounds. Same thing, and he stitched him up, but he didn't. They didn't stitch people up at that time. He poured in oil. He poured in oil in his wounds. And he poured in wine for painkiller. You know, you have to take a pain pill or something like that when you're hurting. Whatever. Well, he gave him a pain pill. Helped him out a little bit. And he set him on his own beast. And he brought him to an inn and took care of him there. We saw that inn, didn't we? Back in the class of the mountain. And on the next day, it's when he departed. He took out some money, 2 pence here it says. And he gave them to the innkeeper of the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, and whatever that you spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He was a benevolent man, wasn't he? I wonder why. He was probably walking around, everybody look at me, look what I'm doing. Look here, hey, look here. All you ungodly Jews, I want you to look and see what I'm doing now. Look here, here's a guy here, and I'm not even supposed to love him, but look what I'm doing. My religion's better than yours. Was he doing this? No, he wasn't. He was honestly loving this man. He loved him because he was a human being. Then Jesus said unto him, who's he talking to now? A religious, Bible-reading, Bible scholar, hypocrite, isn't he? Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Conviction, conviction, conviction. See it? And he said, he that showed mercy on him, and Jesus said unto him, go thou and do likewise. Amen. We say to you this morning, go thou and do likewise. Love your fellow man. Love him. This man, if he'd had the motivation that would say, look and see what I'm doing, that would have been wrong, wouldn't it? If he'd had the type of motivation as pride, boy, they'll remember me from now on for this good deed. You know that Jesus is going to write it down in his book. I'm going to be remembered forever because of what I've done. You know, a lot of people in the world just do good deeds so they can be remembered. They don't want to be forgotten. Is that the right motivation? No. This man's motivation was love. Simply just plain old love. Philippians, the 3rd chapter. You know, we're supposed to serve God because we love him. That's right. We're supposed to serve God because we love him. Philippians 3 and 13. Let's go back to verse 12 here. Philippians 3 and verse 12. You know, many times we say, that I served the Lord for 30 years. Ever heard of that? I've served the Lord for 50 years. You know, the race is not finished until you get to the finish line. And that means the rest of your life. You know, there's a saying in the Word of God that says, don't do your bragging until you take your armor off. You ever heard of that one? You ever heard that one, James? It says in the Bible says this, don't brag until you take your armor off. One guy stood up to another captain one time and he thought, I'm going to whoop you, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that to you. And he said, you better not brag if you take your armor off. You know, that's when the fight is already won. Don't fall. You know, we don't need to brag until our armor is ready to be laid down. And that's when we go on to meet the Lord. That's when the world can say of us and our brethren can say of us, he fought a good fight. His fight was finished. I remember Brother Cooper up there in Porterville, thought very much of him. Very much. A young man, too. He was only 43 years old when he died. fine pastor, one that really pastored, did a beautiful job. People loved him very greatly. And I talked to him the Saturday before he died. He died on Monday. And he told me, he said, Brother Jim, he says, I don't know whether I'm going to come through this operation or not. But he says to die is to be with the Lord and to live as Christ in me. He said, whatever the Lord will, he said, I guess that's what I'll have to do. He said, I'd like to live, but maybe it's not the Lord's will. Well, he finished his fight, didn't he? He preached Sunday morning. The morning before, they said he did a beautiful job of preaching, just like he was in the finest of health, and he died Monday after a heart operation. Well, he run his race to the finish, didn't he? He finished his course. He didn't brag. The Apostle Paul had run a race also, hadn't he? Let's look and see what the Apostle Paul says. Not as though I had already attained, he said apprehended, laid hold on, can't gain control of, either was already made perfect or matured, but I run after, I follow after, I chase as a dog would after a rabbit, as a hunter would after a piece of game. If that I may apprehend for that which I also was apprehended of Christ. Then he says in verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to lay hold on or gain control of, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before me. The Apostle Paul, if you don't know what in the world he was talking about there, you have really not much of an idea. Paul the Apostle is talking about a Greek race. That's what he's talking about, a Greek race. You know that the Greeks would go up there and they would take a prize. They would take this prize and they would lay it out on a beautiful table, a purple tablecloth on it. I mean, very costly silver and silk cloth or something like that. And they would lay this prize up on top of this table right out here, and every one of the runners. And the one that won the race would get the wreath. And it would be placed upon his head, but there was a lot of things that went with that wreath. One of them, we'll get into this in just a minute after we read this verse, but every one of these men, it says reaching forth there in verse 13, that means stretching. Have you ever seen someone come to the finish line and stretching their chest out just as far as they could to try to reach that before the next man did? Paul the Apostle was running toward the end of his life, the end of the fight of his battle that he was to fight. In that way, he was running and straining toward the end of the mark. He said, I press, or I run forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. He had his eyes on Jesus all the time. As these men could constantly see in their life, they could see that crown laying upon that table. Paul says, as I run this race, I constantly keep that prize, and that prize is being with Jesus. Being with him. He said, I have that on my mind all the time. He said, I constantly have that on mind. Then he says, let therefore as many as be mature be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, wherefore to we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. He said, we ought to be examples to one another. Each and every one of your lives ought to be an example to your brothers. Do you know that? Many people say, oh, the pastor's got to be the example. Yes, but each one of your lives ought to be examples to each other's lives. And when you fail, you hurt your brother. You don't think you do? Just look around. Just start looking around and see if you don't hurt your brother when you fail him. You sure do. You know, this is the most beautiful thing. These people were constantly keeping in mind that little old corruptible crown, that little old thing that could fade away, as Paul the Apostle said. That little crown that would wither up and die, but there were a lot of things that went with it. You know, first of all, they had great respect and honor. You know, when a man from his city went and won that crown, he come home crowned with that little thing of leaves around his head, the whole town respected him. You know what? All of the city of Bakersfield that you know will respect you if you serve God. They'll do it. You'll have the respect. Now, you may not always think you have it, but they do respect you. They may do everything in the world to offend you at times, but they do respect you. They may never tell you that, but they do respect you. These men were respected when they went home. You know that they were exempted from taxes, all state and all federal, local, whatever, they were exempted from taxes. Did you know that? These people that won these races, they were exempt for the rest of their lives from taxes. And as Jesus said, all the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. You know, you may not have much in this world today, but everyone in the everlasting, if you do the Lord's will and you run this race like God wants you to, these will all be yours. Every bit of this is going to be yours. This whole world, it's your father's and it's yours. It's in your family. You're a child of the king, remember. You're a prince. Gary, set still. Another thing. They many times were given free rent. Sometimes they were given great estates. They were given beautiful clothes. They were given everything that they needed when they won these races. And Philippians 4:19 says that God will provide us abundantly through the riches that is in Jesus Christ. We'll have everything we need. Everything God provides for us. In 1 Corinthians 13:3-7, I want to read something to you as we close today. 1 Corinthians 13:3-7. This is a very strong admonition by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. Even though I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and this I surrender my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. This is the Amplified Bible. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily, not proud. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly. You know, many children of God say, "Oh, I love the Lord." And they constantly carry a chip on their shoulder. The first person that says the wrong thing to me, I'm going to get mad and I'm going to just tell them what I think. You ever hear somebody, "I'm one of those kind of people that just says what I think"? You better keep your mouth shut. You know what the Bible calls you? A person that says what they think before they just said it? Calls you an idiot, a fool. The Bible says you ought to think what you say first, and if it's going to hurt somebody, you ought to keep it in your mouth. That's right. And does not act unbecomingly. Love, that is God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. This is my right. Oh, I have some rights around here. Boy, I'm a member of this church. I pay $400 a month on the tithe. I'm going to, boy, I'd have more say so than anybody else. And if you don't do it this way, I'm going to get mad. Ungodly buzzard ought to be taken out and shot. You're not going to receive a reward. Isn't that right? May not have his own way in seeking his own. He's not self-seeking. He's not touchy. Well, I'm just a little touchy about this. I'm just a little touchy about that. Ungodly, isn't it? Is that what the Bible says love is? What is love? It's the opposite of all these things. It's not touchy, it's not fretful, and it's not resentful. I resent that remark. You ever heard of that one? Is that love? No, it's not. It takes no account. It does not take any occasion for evil done to it. I'll tell you what, I may forgive them, but I'm never going to forget it. Well, I'm going to write this down in my little spiritual book. I'm going to remember this. You ever heard of that before? You know what that is? That's ungodliness. Ungodliness. And it pays no attention to suffering wrong. You know, a lot of people just want to be a martyr for the Lord. Look what all I'm doing. You know, I went back today. You know, those kids are a handful. They'd leave a lot more a handful if you had them out here. You ought to take turns, and you ought to teach those classes. Really, each and every one of you. You ought to. And when you go back there and you teach the little kids and you're about to pull your hair out, say, thank the Lord that He gave me the grace to do this. Amen. Thank the Lord that I have this position of work to do. And don't say, oh, look what I'm doing for the Lord. It's nothing. It's nothing. Go on. And thank the Lord you have it to do. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything. That means those things that Jay does to you. Love bears up under anything. Amen? Amen, it does. You have a commitment in your lives, and that commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing in this world that can make you stop serving God if you don't want it to. Amen. There is nothing in this world that can make you stop loving the Lord. Is there? You don't believe me, read the book of Job. We just studied that in Sunday school. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Boy, that's beautiful. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. And it endures everything without weakening. That's love. I want to ask you a few questions this morning. Do you have this kind of love in your life? Do you? Maybe you have a knowledge of it in the Bible, but you don't practice it. Is that sin? Amen. Sin. Are you pressing toward the mark? Are you relying on what you've already done? Oh, I used to teach class. Oh, I was a good teacher. I was this, I was that. Was. You know, that's an imperfect indicative passage. Past tense. Not present. Do now what you should be doing. The Lord has something for you right now. Serve God today like the last day of the day. Let me start that one over again. Tongue got tangled up. Serve God today like it was the last day of your life. Because it may be. You don't have a promise for tomorrow, do you? Serve God today as if it was the last day of your life, and don't do anything today, as that little golden book says, that I'd be ashamed of if the Lord would come back 5 minutes from now. Amen. That's the way we need to live our lives. That's the way. I want to give you an invitation. Love, Joe?
What do we have? What song do we have? 95. Page 95, hymn 95.